Actually, I have had a thought or two on the subject, Caleb admitted mildly, and despite the gravity of the events which had brought them together, more than one of his counselors raised a hand to hide a smile. In simplest terms, we do need to respond, but we also need to retain the majority of our fighting power for use against Hector and Coruscant. Also, I believe it's important that whatever response we make be clearly appropriate to the provocation. We're going to have a fight on our hands getting anyone to accept, or to openly admit that they do, at least, that our version of events is the truth, instead of the lies we all know the group of four are going to manufacture to justify their actions and blacken ours. We don't need to make their mouthpiece's task any easier. Even Mandolin nodded, and the Emperor continued. So far as we now know, the only place where this has happened is Ferade. It's possible we'll find out differently, in which case we may have to reconsider things. If, however, it turns out that this did happen only at Ferade, then our legitimate quarrel will be with King James and his kingdom. We may protest the seizure of our ships by other realms, but under the accepted law of nations, protesting is the appropriate response at this point, unless there's been deliberately inflicted, avoidable loss of life, which is precisely what seems to have happened at Ferade. In addition, there's the complication that all of the witnesses agree the Inquisition was directly involved. In fact, that Inquisitors deliberately incited the massacre. The youthful Emperor's expression turned bleak, his eyes into brown flint. Whatever Clinton and the group of four may claim, those Inquisitors knew they were goading King James' troops into murdering women and children aboard those ships. Somehow I find it difficult to believe a child could be guilty of heresy, whatever its parents might have done. And I think it's time we reminded the Inquisition of what the writ says about the murder of innocents. Those flinty eyes went to Michael Stainer's face. I believe the relevant text is in the Book of Langhorne, isn't it, Michael? Chapter 23, if I recall correctly. The Archbishop looked back at him for a moment, then nodded slowly.
I believe you're thinking about verse 56, Your Majesty, he said. Woe be unto the murderers of innocents, for the blood of the innocent cries out to the ear and heart of God, and he will not hold his hand against its shedders. Better for them never to have been born, for his curse is upon them. His wrath will find them out, and he will use the hand of the righteous to destroy them utterly.
Yes, that's the passage I had in mind, Caleb agreed grimly.
Excuse me, Your Majesty, Baron Whitechurch said in a very careful tone of voice, but
I'm not planning on holding the entire city of Ferade responsible for those deaths and stringing up every head of household in the city limits, my lord, Caleb interrupted the Keeper of the Seal. But I do intend to call the guilty to account, whoever they may be. There was dead silence in the council chamber for several seconds. Charlian glanced at the faces of the men seated around the council table and felt that silence singing in her bones. Whitechurch looked profoundly unhappy, and one or two others certainly looked less than eager, yet she was almost surprised by how little true resistance she sensed. And why should I be surprised? She shook her head mentally. As Whitechurch himself pointed out, we're already at war with the Church, and with enough just cause for 20 kingdoms.
And how will you establish that guilt, Your Majesty?
Stainer asked quietly at length.
I don't propose to select 2 or 3 dozen temple loyalist priests at random and hang them as examples or reprisals, Michael.
Caleb's expression lightened slightly, and he snorted.
Mind you, there are times I find the temptation to do precisely that greater than at others. However, if we're not going to act without evidence right here in Karras, we can't do the same thing somewhere else either. Not unless we want to open ourselves to the deserved accusation that our actions are just as capricious and reprehensible as those of Clinton himself. And no matter how angry I may be, I refuse to put myself into the same category as Jaspar Clinton. On the other hand,
I don't suppose that anyone in Faraid, and especially not anyone from the Office of the Inquisition, is particularly concerned about any possible consequences stemming from their actions in this case, which probably means there hasn't been any cover-up yet, or at least not any effective cover-up. And if there hasn't, then I think it's time they, and the Grand Inquisitor, discover they're wrong about those consequences. No one is going to act without evidence. If, however, that evidence exists, and if it can be found, then the men who incited the murder of Carisian children in front of their mothers' and fathers' eyes will face the justice meted out to any murderer of children. I don't care who they are, I don't care what their names are, and I don't care about whatever vestments they may wear. Is that clear to everyone around this table? He swept his eyes around the table. Whitechurch still looked deeply unhappy, but even he met that flint-brown gaze without flinching, and Caleb nodded. Good, he said softly. Then he inhaled deeply. However, he continued in a deliberately lighter voice, lest all of you decide I'm turning all wishy-washy by insisting on evidence, I do believe a significant slap on the wrist is due to King James, Faraid, and Delphirac generally, just as a gentle reminder that we're none too happy with them either. And since we'd like for others to profit from their example, I want that slap delivered firmly, very firmly. Administered exactly how, Your Majesty? Lock Island asked just a little cautiously.